Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for people who stab ground cloth with needles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, stabbing. Okay.
Yeah, kind of in a stabbing mood today. We might as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. It's a good thing.
Yep. So Stitch and Chat again tonight. I have to show you some Ronnie Rowe designs.
Oh, nice.
That he is showing at the Nashville market. And so he has sent me photos, and they're scenes. You know, he does buildings, but they're always black.
Right.
Well, there's four of them. Yeah, four of them. They're all in color.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's his style, but it's all in color.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, so we have that to show tonight, so you get to see those ahead of Nashville. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then if I can get it together, we'll have I'll stitch some DMC and some anchor thread side by each, and then should be able to get that together. But I've got a list of things I should have been able to get to, and so I'm not promising.
Yeah. You know, life happens, right?
Right.
Life happens.
I promise I will try. That's all I'll promise.
That's all we can ask.
That I'll do. So it was interesting when we talked, was it last week we talked about anchor threads on spools? Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A couple, three people raised a question that I thought was interesting. What do you do with the excess thread, or not the excess thread, but like, you know, you pull a strand off and you got five strands left. What do you do with that?
I would wrap it back around the spool.
Well, that's what I would do too. But apparently some people then, if they have spools, will then put the extra in a floss tube or in a floss tube, a floss away bag or some other form of thing. But, yeah, that's what I would do. I would just wrap it back on the thing.
Right. Because then you have, not only now you have the spool, but then you'd have a bag.
Right.
That, you know, then I'm going to, then that bag, if not, unless it's labeled, you'll be looking at that bag and like, okay, what is this and why is it in this bag?
Right.
At least that's what I would do.
Yeah. Or you put the spool in the bag with the strands. Well, then that just defeats the spool thing.
Right.
So it would, you know, so that was, it got a couple comments about that, but then it got me thinking, you know, people always wonder how everybody handles their threads, and there's no perfect way. I mean, there's every way has a flaw.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to put a flaw on it, you can do it. You know, whether it's thread drops, or floss away bags, or skeins.
The bobbins, wrapping right. them on things. You know, how do you store them? There's always some sort of issue with each thing. So you gotta choose what works for you.
Right.
I had to laugh though. Caught Kim Young's video last Friday, but she was stroking her silk just
Ooh.
To bother Jennifer.
Ooh, that'll make Jennifer cringe.
Sorry, Jennifer. That made me laugh, though. That made me laugh because I did think about her. And anytime I watched somebody who was on floss tube and they had their floss and they were, whether it be silk or DMC, and they were stroking it, all I could think was of this Jennifer cringing and going, oh, I can't watch this. Thread.
Yep.
Sorry.
We should do that. We should do that tonight on the show. We'll just start the show just with a bunch of thread drops, just stroking her.
Yeah. Or my little pile where I have like a pile of each little color, just not organized, just pile. That would really probably be for bonkers. She won't be able to get on with it. Like, you too crazy.
Yep. Okay. All right. We may have to fix her up. Yep. But see, for me, For me, this, you know, the spool is no different than a bobbin.
Right.
You know, I just wrapped the excess thread on back on the bobbin, so I didn't have a problem with it. But see, I use a hybrid thing.
Right.
Like, I don't use skeins because skeins drive me nuts. They always have. But so it'll be a bobbin or a floss away bag. So like if you use a Karen, you know, a Karen floss, one of those that come in those braided, twisted up things, then that's right. A floss away bag for me.
Right. Even the rainbow berries, those cards. When I'm doing doing Debbie Rowley's Royal Garden, I put each of those in a bag.
Yes.
Organized. So that way they were all together, and then hooked them on a ring, and so I had them all grouped. But they were in a bag. I didn't just stick them because there's a hole, and I guess you could stick the ring through the hole, but to me it made more sense to keep them neat and tidy to have them in that bag.
Right.
And then eventually take them all out of the bags and put them where they belong with the other rainbow gallery threads. But yeah, that just kept them organized. And then I just tossed my extra, if I had a little bit of extra length that I thought I could use, or I was a little afraid I was going to run out of a color, I kept. But
yeah,
I'll go through and dump most of those out.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a couple bowls full of really long lengths of things that I just threw away. I just decided, no, I'm not using that. But yeah, because like I'll use, you know, that's the thing with needlepoint stuff, is you can't pre-cut your threads.
Oh no!
You know that you'll be in trouble by the second stitch, guaranteed. So you can't do that. So yeah, that's what I do with Rainbow Gallery. Is they go in a floss away bag or, you know, little sandwich bag or whatever, and then if I have extra length, then that just gets shoved in there, because those cards are hard to they don't fit anything. I'm sure there's a container store or something that they fit in beautifully, but I just put them in a bag. It's easier.
Right. And especially when you're actively using them, to me, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
And then I do put them in I have a container that I put them in. So that when I want Rainbow Gallery threads, I know that's where they all are.
Yeah. Yeah. But now if I'm doing a sampler, then I pre-cut all the silks.
I can't do that.
Yeah, I do. I pre-cut all the silks, put them on thread drops, because I know that I'm going to use them in a length, because just cross-stitch, so it's not like I'm going to do a Jessica.
Right.
I pre-cut them, and then just use thread drops and put that on a big ring and go that route.
I guess my problem with that route is, okay, now you've got them on those thread drops. How do you store them when you've finished a project?
Well, in my case, you have to finish a project. So not a problem to me.
Well, I guess. So, yeah, and because like I have, someone gave me a bunch of Averisois. She was downsizing, so she had all of them. But they're all in floss away bag. So, and they're grouped by colors, and that's nice. And that's how I've done all my, if I have a sampler that I'm working in a Averisois, the silks, then I just keep them in those bags.
Yeah.
And cut them that I want. And especially if I'm, because it depends, I don't know, I like using shorter lengths too, especially of the silk. But I can't do the long length.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what I did when I finished Hannah Longstreth, because I must have, I probably put them in floss away bags is what I probably did, because I know I kept the leftover silk from that.
Mm-hmm. Because it was needle pink, right?
Right. I believe it was, yeah. So I know I kept that silk, because that was, whether it was a Averisois or whatever it was, yeah, I kept it. So that must be in, I must have put that in, floss away bags. I know the silk I'm using for the Sarah Parr sampler, that's going in a big envelope to Nooper Heisey. when I'm done, so she can have it for her collection.
There you go, Nooper.
Yeah, it is. I'm quite serious. It's going in an envelope, and it's going right to her the minute I finish. That's it. Out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and, I probably should take a look at my story because I'm pretty picky about, like, if I'm working on a project and I have threads out, then they get covered up when I'm not working on it.
Right.
You know, always covered, always out of daylight. And I appreciate that they're probably not going to fade, but I just don't want to contribute any dust or dirt if I don't have to. So I keep it, keep them pretty covered up. I'm pretty picky, as I look at a ring of floss of silks here that I did not cover up when I last finished stitching. But, I keep everything covered up for the most part.
Well, and I have that spool holder that my husband made for me, and I have a couple of silks on that from, Portifette. And I'm thinking they're out because I was actively using them, but I haven't used them in a while. And I'm thinking, oh, I should probably just go tuck them in the bag that they belong in, so I'm not distracted by the next shiny object. And I'm wondering later, these threads belong, or when I pull Portifette out, I'm missing my thread.
Yeah, yeah.
Both be normal for me, so.
Yeah. Well, see, I have, for active projects, I have this overflowing plastic basket thing on my table where I keep all the threads. So if I'm actively working on something, I know it's in there somewhere. Yeah.
Right, and then you just cover that basket, which is
right.
Nice.
Right. Yeah. That's just it. Yeah. Then I just keep it covered and, it's out of daylight and I don't have to think about it. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of picky about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And see, I tried that at one point, putting things all in a basket, and then I got distracted, and then that basket have stuff in it. And then I'm like, okay, wait, let's finish a project.
Yeah.
Shall we?
Well, this basket is overflowing, yes.
Oh.
It's overflowing, and I'm using that now as a reminder that I really shouldn't start anything new, but,
So how's Sarah Parr coming along? Did you have any chance to?
Well, I haven't stitched in 3 days, but it is coming along swimmingly, yes. It's one of those, if you look at the chart, you know, the photo on the chart, that does not sell this sampler whatsoever. You know, it would turn you off. And the only reason I'm doing it is because it's my kid's, you know, name.
Right.
But yeah, the more I stitch on it, the more I really have grown to like it. And it really is going to be beautiful when it's done. So
do you remember what fabric you're using for the ground?
40 count something. Don't know.
40 count. Well, that's very helpful, Gary. Thank you.
Hey, I'm here for you. No, I know it's 40 count. I know that, okay. But I couldn't tell you. I honestly couldn't tell you. It calls for why don't I just have dead space in a podcast while I look for the chart?
Sure.
You know, why not? What did I do with that? Oh, here it is, right here. I got my hand on it. That's why I couldn't. It calls for... Zweigert Summer Khaki. I'll bet that's what I got.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, because it's a khaki color. I'll bet that's what it is. Zweigert Summer Khaki 40 count. I know it's 40 count.
The reason I asked is it's got that kind of brown tone. Brownish green tone to it, and I like it. And I was just like, oh, I know you don't like mottled very much.
No.
And so I was just kind of curious. That's why I am.
Yeah, I bet that's what it is. Summer khaki, because that would fit the color it is. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very nice. And 40 count.
40 count. Yeah, so it's going to be 16 1/4 by 16 1/4 when it's done.
Oh, so it's square.
Yeah, it is. I know, it's weird. It is. It's a square one. Yeah. Which is unusual. You don't usually it's one way or the other, but yeah, it's absolutely square. Yep. It's weird. So be easy to frame.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yep.
Well, neat.
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying it, and I was gonna put it away late last week, and go work on one of my whip goes, but then now I haven't stitched in 4 days, so I didn't ever put it away.
Well, and that's what I was gonna ask you. So you're just ignoring February's whip goes. At the end of the month. I'm asking for my own self too. I've got, yeah.
Well, February's whip goes are not going anywhere. They haven't gone anywhere because I haven't had a chance, and basically the month is over. So, I think February's going to be a failure.
Well, and I have on my whip go boards to work on that painted lizard canvas, and yeah. My problem now is, like, since I pulled out the background and I need some pearl cotton, and I'm looking at it and I'm like, do I really want to work on this? And I'm like, I don't think I really do.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of hard to get motivated on it. And that's all right, though. I've decided I'll pull it out here in the next few days, or I won't, but I'm stitching what I like. I'm working on that red February by Kim.
Yeah.
The Sassy Jack sampler. And that's been fun. It's mindless, you know, in a lot of ways. Just one thread, red, and away you go.
That's fairly small, right?
It is. It's narrow. I'm doing it on 45 count Jersey cream.
Oh, okay.
And I really am enjoying it. I really do. And it made me think of your band sampler with your blues. And that's right. That needle ink blue. And that is just gorgeous with that banding.
Yeah. MPI knows how to do blue. There's no question. They know how to do blue. Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I see a lot of people doing that Sassy Jacks one on banding. Yeah.
Yes.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah, it is. And it's very... It's a simple stitch. The only thing is, I think she's going to release something February 28th.
Oh.
And that makes me nervous because, you know, that's a temptation in and of itself.
Yeah, yeah. Meaning a full reproduction sampler?
I think so.
Hmm. Go, Beth. Start a new one.
Yeah, right. That's what I need. Another project going.
Yeah, do it. You can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, if she, I'm pretty sure it's a Bristol. So it would be a single color, which I have to say, there's something about working on a single color sampler.
Yeah.
Or a single color project that's very appealing.
Yep. Yeah, you can. There's a lot of meditative time to those. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I find it very rewarding as I work on them because you're making fairly quick progress on them, and you can.
Yeah.
You know, you can see something happen rather than okay, I've worked on this an hour and I've got nothing done.
Yeah, yeah. How do you let's talk about that when you start a new project. What is your, I mean, I do the same. I think I do the same for everything. What is your general procedure? You know, let's assume you have all the materials. You know,
okay.
You have your cloth, you have all the threads, you have the chart, whatever it might be. What is your procedure? What do you go through before you actually put stitch one in?
Well, if it's linen, unless it's a tiny project and I know I'm going to put it on scroll bars. And so therefore it won't get a lot of rough handling. I'll serge the edges. I'll make sure it's cut to size, and I'll serge or do something around the edge of my fabric. And then I will iron it. I did not iron, though, the 45-count Jersey cream, because I knew when I was done with it, I was going to take it off the scroll bars and do a hem stitch. And I'm going to have to do that hem stitch in my hand. So it's going to get kind of rumpled anyway.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, you know, I'm not going to iron it and then iron it again, because it's not going to make any difference. And then I'm rolling it on a spool. So, you know, yeah, not going to matter.
Right.
But I will iron it first. And then that's generally all I do, unless I feel like I need to put a basting line on it. And I hate basting, so I avoided it at all costs. But if it's a Gayan Rogers piece and she says to put a basting line in, I put the basting line in.
Yeah, do it. Yeah, do it. Just don't ask. Just do it. No, yep.
No. But, you know, a lot of samplers will say, oh, put a basting line on either side, you know, so you know your edges. And I debate on that. If I'm afraid that if I want it to be exactly that straight, then some I will. Like if it's a band sampler. But if I'm just stitching something, I'm like, nah, I'm not going to bother. And
okay.
I just find the corner and away I go. I measure in 2 to 3 inches and start stitching.
Okay.
But that's generally all the prep I do.
Yeah. Okay, so we're pretty much the same. Though, I mean, I make sure all my wrinkles, you know, I go to whatever lengths to get all wrinkles out. But I can't remember the last time I stitched in hands. Well, it's virtually never. So, but I can see not even bothering if you're going to stitch in hand. The thing with particularly linen is those creases from folding and shipping that, to me, that's the one I want those out, because usually handling, you know, wrinkles and stuff from handling are not really defined and I want to say permanent, but they're not, you know, they're fairly easy to get out with just ironing.
Right.
But when it's been folded and shipped and sat on a shelf, and man, those straight lines are hard to get out. And yeah, I want those gone before I start. I don't want to see them.
Right. And when I was first stitching, I think I made the mistake of not getting them out. And I think one of the pieces hanging now, I can't see it because where the stitching that's gone through it, but it did have a very big crease in it, in the material. And yeah. I didn't know I needed to iron it and get that out. And I just started stitching.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do try to take those out because they will bother me.
Yeah. And they don't go away even. I mean, a good framer will make them go away, but I always think you can still see a hint of them.
Mm-hmm.
They have to go. Yeah. And then I will always, and I don't know why this is, but I always, no matter what, I always find the center of where my design is going to go, the top center and the top left. And I mark those with, I'll just take a single strand of DMC, just do it and just tie off over one thread where those are.
And I don't ever do that.
No.
And well, I do find, like, if it's a needle point, I do find my center. But I don't find the outer edge at that point. I'll either find, I generally try to find the center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It probably comes from a needle point, in that invariably you have to find one of those spots. So I just find the center. And, but yeah, even on linen, when I know, you know, I always have enough linen, and you can easily just measure in three, down three, pick a square and go. And, you know, if you're off by a couple lines off center, it doesn't going to matter when it gets framed or whatever, that's all going to get cut off anyway. But yeah, right. I always have to do that. And I leave the threads in until I've stitched over them. So I always start top left and then work my way over. And then when I get to that top center one, then for me, that's a check. You know, did I hit that? And then I always leave the center of the design area in, because that's another check. And not sure I would tear it all out at that point to get it. If it was off, I wouldn't. But at least I know, all right, somehow I got one off. So somewhere along the way, as I make my way over to the right, you know, I got to compensate for that, or, you know, do something, or just let it go, one or the other. But so like if I'm one off, up, down, left, or right, then, you know, the next motif, I'll just shift. And, right. And, cause you know, one or two threads, who's going to know that? And, like somehow on Sarah Parr, I'm doing the middle main, pot of flowers. And for some reason, I'm one stitch too high. It's like, come on, really? How do you do that? And, but it fits. So, you know,
you're leaving it.
Yeah. I'm leaving it. Yeah. At this juncture. Yep.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I liked band samplers so much, is you can kind of, you just skip so many rows, so many threads, and you go down and you do the next one. So if it's a little off, it doesn't really matter, as long as you're keeping that, the edge is pretty straight.
Yeah. 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 That's the only thing that visually matters at all. Yeah.
And even then, some of them aren't exactly meeting at the edges. You know, you can compensate. You say, well, you know, I made a mistake. I'll just come in leave a few off this motif and go for it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Cause like one of my favorite things in samplers in general with alphabets is if you get off somewhere, is you can just put a extra line between letters, extra thread between letters, or, and I've done this on a couple of spots, not because I was off, but when you get you know, a combination of letters like an L and a something else, there'll be a big gap, and that always looks goofy to me. So I'll fill it with some little element, fill that space just to visually, so I don't have that big gap there. Because then, even if it's right, to me it looks wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There's too much space. Yeah.
Right.
Right. All right, so that's your ground cloth. Then what do you do with your threads? Do you have general practices you do with your threads every time, or is it hit and miss?
It depends on the threads. So like if it's DMC, I normally put them on a bobbin, and then I put them in bags and put them on a ring and keep that with the project.
Okay.
Then I do the same with needlepoint. So if it's like the Debbie Rally piece, it was all in the bags, hooked together with a ring, so they were all together, and I just needed to flip through and find the thread I needed. And that way they were all together on the ring.
Yeah.
Now the painted canvas, I'm pulling a lot of threads because I'm not sure what I'm using. It wasn't a kit. There was no instructions. I'm doing it on my own.
Right.
So I have a ton of threads that I thought would work. And so those are just in a box. I went to Sam's Club, and they're literally one of those plastic, I don't know what, they're not very high, just like 3 inches high. And I just put all the threads in there. And, but that was the only way I could think of to keep them all together. Cause I thought, I don't want a basket. That would be a mess.
Right.
And I wanted a lid on it because I knew I would be working on it off and on. It wasn't going to be a full-time project. So I wanted to keep it all together, but keep it kind of clean. And actually, even now and then, I'll find a thread and think, that might work for that canvas. And I'll take it and I'll throw it in that box. So that way it's all together. And that way I can have it when I want it. And then I've been taking little notes. You try this thread, try this stitch. And that's what I need to do. And I think that's what's holding me back on that painted canvas, is that I need to try some things. But that's how I normally keep my threads. Or, like, for Portofet has a bunch of the same color all on those little spools. And so I have, it's a little zipper bag. Mm-hmm. And I threw all the threads in there. And then that's in its own little project bag. So all that's together. Spring Hill, all those threads are in a box, because I want to keep them all together. I don't want to pull something from there and then need it for that project. Right, that would be terrible.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. For me, it's, for samplers, like I said, it's thread drops, pre-cut silks, and on there, and the thread drops marked. I mean, that's just, I'm just consistent with that every time. But then, depending on the needlepoint project, it'll either be floss away bags on a ring, or I've found with some of them, I end up going to a project bag with them. And I'll put chart and put them all in a project bag because there's too many of them. And just keep it that way. And then I know they're covered, they're clean, they're protected, and it's all there.
Right.
Yeah. But, I floss away bags mostly for me, other for needlepoint. But, yeah, the painted canvas, now mine, which I've done essentially little or no work on, I'm with you. I have a pile of threads that are under consideration. And I keep, they're actually laying, I stitch in the well, and they're all laying on the canvas covered up, because it's that, exactly that. And I have a sheet, just like you, with notes. These greens for these leaves over here, and this and that. Yeah, yeah.
Right, right. And the thing is, I had these boxes, and I have it in the box, so that way, because my canvas has so many different colors in it, it's very, very colorful, and I want a lot of different textures. So I have a lot of colors, same colors in different types of thread.
Mm-hmm.
So pulling through those, if it were all just out, that would be just a terrible mess. At least the box is all contained. Oh, yeah. My cat would love it, though.
Yeah. No, that's just it. At least that's, this is the first painted canvas I've done in forever, but I got to believe that painted canvas people are always, you have a collection of threads and are always testing. Mm-hmm. This stitch with this thread, or maybe it's this thread, or maybe neither of those, and I'll try this thread with this stitch. And so you just accumulate a bunch of stuff, and a good portion of it you just never use. Right. Because you have to, I think, to find the right look for every area.
Right, right. And especially if you're using a lot of different stitches, or you want to look a lot of texture.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and it's working for you. I mean, your lizard canvas is looking, the stuff you stitched is looking really good. I think you're really bringing out the features that it has there.
Thanks. I need to, I've got to get back to work on it. I have been thinking about it because it's sitting out, so I can look at it and think about what I want to do next. So,
yeah. All right. So, okay. So we pretty much do the threads. Now your stitching space. Talk about how you do that. Do you have a little table, or do you have a favorite chair and a little nest around you? What is that like?
Yeah, I have a nest. So a chair I sit in my living room. It's some sort of little rocking thing we've had forever. It's comfortable, though. And then I have a table next to me that has, what's it called? That you have one too. It's an Emma thing. Emma.
Oh yes. Oh, those things. It's so Emma. Stash and store.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So In there, I have my scissors, tweezers, Takabari, and a pencil. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's in there. And then I have like my Ort jar where I throw my pieces of thread, and then several pairs of glasses because I need my double readers.
Mm-hmm.
And then lights around me that beam down over my shoulder so I can see.
Right.
And then I either, if I'm stitching on a piece that's big, I pull out the frame that my son made for me and I stick it on there and stitch on there. Or if I'm stitching something smaller, like this band sampler, I'm using a lap frame and it sits on my lap.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, yeah, and because I stitch normally, I stitch in the living room with my family. I used to stitch alone. Like I would stitch, you know, I'd find another quiet spot to stitch when the kids were little or something. But then I realized
that was for your sanity though.
But that they like to have me, obviously, you know, like to have me with them. And my husband likes me to sit there with him when he's watching TV or whatever. So I'm like, okay, so that's why, where I sit. So I'm, you know, close with the family. So yeah, that works for me. But you have your room, your whole office area.
Yeah. I go to my room. Yeah. Anymore. I just go to, well, even back in Illinois, I had, My corner was in the family room where we watched TV. So then Marga would sit and we'd be in the same room. But now I go to my studio office space and watch TV there. Because mm-hmm. I, you know, it's Marga and I watch different shows. So she doesn't care for things that blow up and I love it. So.
Right. Yeah. And it's nice. And you guys have the space for that. And, you know, that's
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, whatever Max wants to watch, I'm stitching. I'm happy. My needle thread, I can go.
Yeah.
So.
But now when Mark, yeah. like when Margaret and I watch TV together, then I don't stitch because I don't haul it downstairs where when we watch TV together, I don't haul it. And I've been tempted to do that. But then I know what's going to happen is there a nest will start to form.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I don't want that. I want it all to stay in one room. So it's, you know, out of sight, out of mind. And like right now it's a complete mess. I got to clean up the mess, but no one's going to see it. So if it's a train wreck, because right now it's the result of not thoroughly cleaning up after two or three live shows, I got stuff sitting everywhere, and I gotta go through it now and do a complete cleanup because it's gotten out of control, and now I'm down to about a 2x3 foot space where I can work, and that's it. And well, that was not the plan, so I gotta do that. But yeah, I know I'll start a nest down there, and then you know it's like no.
Right, and that's why. Like I try to only keep active projects up where I'm stitching. You know, if it becomes something that, okay, I haven't touched this in a while, it needs to go back and live in its home in the basement until I'm going to work on it again. Rotate it back up. But I try to keep my projects upstairs to a minimum. And right now it's like, okay, something needs to be removed. Something either needs to get done or it needs to be moved back downstairs until I can do it again.
Because all right, so we joke about your basement, but that your basement is that functional keep things from getting overwhelming in the living space. It's where you can store things and get to them and
keep them away from the cat. Let's be honest. Keep them away from the cat. When the kids sleep little, keep them away. You know, let's be honest, sticky fingers, all that stuff. So it, you know, when I'm not working on something, I don't want it like you. I don't want it sitting out in dust, you know, all that stuff. So like More Than a Rose, I worked on it for 8 hours for WIPCO. It's sitting there. It needs to be put in its bag and taken downstairs. So that I'm not going to touch it again for at least another 8 days to a week,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe longer. so I just need to get it put away because it's kind of, it's whole, all the stuff that went with it, you know, the threads, they're all in their own bag, but I need to move it so it's not getting bothered by the cat, because the cat will occasionally get into things. Not very often, but he will. So I've got to move it so it's out of his way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so many stitchers have pets that is a very real issue. You have to have some system that keeps the animals out of it, cat or dog.
Right.
Otherwise, yeah, it'll be covered in hair, and the cats will get in it, and then pretty soon $200 worth of silk will be all over the floor, and
right. Or you'll have a doctor's visit because they swallowed a needle, which you don't want.
Oof,
you know, it makes sense to be careful with that stuff. So, you know, we joke, yeah, my basement, but it is, I take it downstairs. I know where I've placed it for the most part, and I can find it again. and I keep them fairly organized. So as long as it's a project I want to continue to work on.
Yeah.
You know,
do you have a table in the basement where you can lay things out, or?
There's a bed in down there that I use, and I'd love to remove that bed and put shelving in that room, but we've never done anything to that room. It's been what it is for ages. So I'm like, okay, that's on the to-do list. I think Max said something about that this coming year, and I'm like, oh, that'll be fun.
Yay.
But
regardless of what it is, you have a large surface where you can lay things out and get yourself organized.
Right. And like if I need to cut fabric or something, I'll pull out a card table, or I like to do it at the library where it's, you know, totally a clear space, especially if it's a bigger project. It's because they have a bigger table than I have at my house.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll go to my local library and I'll cut things there too, which is nice.
Man, you have the best library on the planet. I'm just convinced.
I do. They are the best.
No, that's great. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's effectively what I have in my office studio I've got table space and everything's here and I can spread it out if I need to. And that table, I'm pretty proud of myself now. That 4-foot table that I said was going to stay empty. It is empty. The rest of it's a mess, but that table is empty. And it's, that has worked really well for me, because whenever I need just clear surface to do something, there it sits. I wheel it over from, you know, sits against the wall. I just wheel it over and I have clear space no matter how bad the rest of it is. I thought that would, you know how things tend to get sloppy and then, certain table space starts getting full. No, I don't let things sit on that table. Mm-mm. They can sit elsewhere, but that table is always available for space. And that has served me well. It really has. Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice that you have that area.
I'm really fortunate to have an entire room and to be able to have a table like that I can just wheel around and put however I want it. Yeah. I'm making sure that stays clean, and it is. And right now I'm sitting at the main table with threads everywhere, and I've got just enough space for a microphone and my notes, and that's it.
when my stitching nest gets to that point, it's like, okay, it's time to do some, let's put some of these threads away. You're not doing anything with them. Let's get this mess all cleared up. Clean it up. I just can't take it.
Yep. No, I'm at the Mary Corbett 6-month cleanup point right now. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
I just won't write a blog about it, but it always cracks me up when Mary starts to, I need to clean this place up. Yeah, I know the feeling, Mary. Mm-hmm. But these, you know, these stash and store, this, it's so Emma. These things are the best.
they are nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I used to have a glass frog. Everyone was using those flower frogs.
Yeah.
And they're nice. You can put your scissors, the same stuff in them. But I like I think because they're a little higher, things don't fall out. I was having problems with, I would move my hand over to grab something and something accidentally would fall out of my flower frog. And I was like, oh, that's annoying.
Yeah, if people are wondering what it is, Kim has them at Sassy Jack's. And so I have two of them. And one is 8 inches long. And then there's a small one.
The one
you have the 4-inch one.
Mm-hmm. And I like that because I like just keeping a few things in there.
Yeah, and it's a plastic shell base, and then there's an insert that's kind of a rubbery material that is shaped like flowers or whatever. I mean, I always think it's flowers, but anyway, it's very flexible inside, and so there are all kinds of different ways you can stick things in and hold them up. So then your tools all stay in one container, all stood up. And accessible, and they aren't getting moved around the table and then underneath some thread and underneath the chart, and you're not always looking, and you just they're fantastic. And
right.
And I
especially like that my putting my tweezers in there. Now, why that is, the hole that my flower frog would, you know, you kind of had to squeeze them closed, and I to put them in the flower frog, and I just drop them in those holes. It works beautifully. I just love it.
Yep. Yeah. I'm sure most needlework shops have them, but Kim has them at Sassy Jack's. But itssewemma.com. It's So Emma is the manufacturer, and I imagine you have to get them through the shop. It's probably retail, you know. But they're really well built and really useful. And I mean, for me, because until I got these, then I was just laying stuff out on the table, and where'd those scissors go? And now they're always in this holder, and this is just one of the best tools. It really is.
I like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yep. Okay. Just was curious. I think it's interesting. People always wonder how people, how they stitch. So, all right. So we both use holders as much as possible. We don't stitch in hand. You wrap the inner ring of the hoop or both rings or not at all?
Well, if it's a hardwood man or the wooden one, I wrapped it. But when I use those plastic ones, I don't wrap them. I just, someone said they were something bait.
Susan Bates.
Anyway, yes. And I don't wrap those. I just use them as is and stitch away. And I like the smaller ones. I like the 4-inch hoops. And if I'm doing a scroll bars, I like it to be a narrow, not very high, the shortest height I can get. Because my arms are short. I don't like those long width between spaces.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I only work at that bottom little part anyway. So that's what I do. I use a hoop or I use scroll frame or stretcher bars. And I like those adjuster frames, which reminds me, I need to look into getting another set of them.
Yeah, they're superb. They really are. Yep.
And I'll remember what Marga told you. Just buy one set.
Yeah.
Ship much fun. Look at what other sizes I need.
Right. Yeah. Don't just buy one set because the postage will cost you just as much as the frames. Yeah. So
Look at what I need. Right.
Yep. Yeah. Because the last one I ordered and I have two lengths that I don't have and I should have just got all of them. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It'd have been money ahead.
Do you ever, okay, I got to ask you this because this has been on my mind since we're mentioning these. Do you have multiples of the same size?
In two or three lengths, yes. Like 12 or 14. I couldn't tell you what they are, but I do have multiples, yes.
Is it just that that's the size of needlework you use a lot?
No, it's that I bought a set for one project and didn't want to take it off to do another project, so I bought another set. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, see, because I'm debating on that, because Gay Ann Rogers, her pieces are generally like 8 or 9 inches, and of course I've got several of hers framed up. Now, do I take them off and start a new project, or just buy another set of,
And my answer to that is it depends, because I've done that too. I'll take them off because, okay, I'm not doing this anytime soon. I really could use the stretcher bars for something else, so then I'll take them off. But generally, I don't. Once I mount them on a stretcher bar, I don't like to take them off. I like them to stay there, and I'll go buy another set, but. And it's always going to be the common sets, like, you know, Gay Ann Rogers, and she's probably been the cause of me owning, two or three sets of 10-inch or whatever it is that's common for her. She's the culprit. Debbie Rowley is the culprit for a couple of other sizes.
Yes.
You know, those two are probably my the cause of most of my duplicates. But I never feel like that's... I don't feel like stretcher bars are a waste. Stretcher bars or good hoops are a waste because, I mean, there's something you will use over and over and over again forever.
Right.
To me, they're all one-time purchases, and because I mean, if you are cranking out a lot of needlepoint, if you wear out stretcher bars, if you got nowhere to put a tack. You've been doing a lot of stitching and you're entitled to new bars. I mean, it's just.
and I think my problem right now is I think I have a piece on some of the older bars that I have that I bought when I first started. They're not Evertights. They're not the adjuster frames. And I think I really don't like stitching on these.
Right.
And I can tell a difference. And that's why I'm. Okay, I need to go through. I need to look and see what I have, and I need to place an order because I have Debbie Rowley's angles piece, and I don't even know how big that is. And I've got to see if I need bars for that piece.
If I recall, that's right around the 10-inch size, somewhere in there.
Is it only 10 inches?
I think so. Don't quote me on that. Don't quote me.
Right.
I recall talking with Cindy Baldwin, and that's where it was, right in that area.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm with you 100%. I have some that are on standard stretcher bars, and when I pick them up to do them, there's no way that they're staying on there. They're going on adjuster frame, no question.
Right.
Yeah, I know I'm not ever using conventional stretcher bars again, because once you get those either Evertights or adjuster frame, once you use those, you realize that what you thought was a tight canvas had nothing to do with tight. Nothing.
Right. So like my painted canvas needs to be tightened up. And at first I thought, oh, these are on regular stretcher bars. I'm going to have to take the whole stinking thing off and do it again. And then I'm like, no, I think they're on Evertights.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all I have to do is turn the screw on them.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Happiness.
Because I don't care how good you are at mounting needlepoint canvas. I don't care how strong you are, how many tacks you put in. A third of the way through, that canvas starts getting floppy.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to be retightened. And there is nothing better than taking an Allen key and hitting each corner of an adjuster frame or an Evertight, and it's right back to tight. There's nothing beats that.
Yeah.
Compared to pushing tacks, because you got to pull out all the tacks, and then the pointy part breaks off of 10% of them, and there'll be some that are bent, And it just becomes this whole thing. And yeah, no, no, thanks.
No. Mm-mm. Yeah. So I got to go look. I've got to see what I need because of course I signed up for that and now I got to find out what size of stretcher bars I need.
Okay. Well, when you do that, let me go through, we need to do a joint order because shipping from your house to mine is a whole lot less than, yeah.
And then shipping from up from, the great Chicagoland.
Right. Right. Well, oh. that was ridiculous. The last set I bought, I mean, I'm telling you, it was literally double the price. It's like, oh, what an idiot.
Oh, painful. Yeah. Yeah. And again, for those of you who have friends in the area, if you're going to order something like that, it makes sense to do a group order saying, okay, let's do a little order here.
Yep. Well, see, and that's the thing. I hadn't purchased any adjuster frames that I recall. I hadn't purchased since we moved. And he lived like 5 miles up the road from me when we were in Illinois. So I just go pick him up. So there was never any postage. You know, you just pay him the cost of the thing. I pick him up and then, you know, ship him to me. I never gave it a thought. Just, you know, just send him to me. You know, I mean, they're just four sticks of wood. What are they? And, oh, man, that postage was brutal. So, yeah. And I'm sure there were cheaper ways, but, I mean, he sent it so I'd have them right away. And so you got to appreciate that. There probably was a cheaper way. But then that means the postal service and, you know, a week from now, maybe. So.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's one of the great inventions is the adjuster frame. Yep. Just put that Allen key in there and turn it all the way around and you're good to go.
Yeah. Nice. It makes it nice.
Yep. All right. That's enough, I think.
All right.
Well, I mean, we could go on for another hour, but we're going to call it.
So tonight's going to be Stitch and Chat.
Right. And stroking of threads in thread drops.
Yeah, in honor of Jennifer.
Right. I'll see if I can find some background music.
She's probably yelling at us. I can hear her yelling at us now.
Yeah. If you so help me. Yeah. You know, just some soothing background music and then.
Stroke the threads. Stroke the threads. Yeah.
Yep. So that's tonight. And then, we didn't mention Rabbit Hat Designs. Beth Hoyes is our guest Sunday.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She was fun because, you know, when we say she does like surface embroidery and, you know, thread painting, but hers is unlike anyone else's. It is just so cool looking as she does.
Yep. And so much fun to talk with her. So that'll be Sunday. Rabbit Hat Designs, Beth Hoyes. She was fun. So that'll be our guest Sunday. That's it. Thanks for listening.
Bye.